Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I'm a pilgrim on a journey, seeking for a better land. The way gets rough, and the trial's so hard to bear. But I know they must start with me, that you'll be there to the end. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that he takes thought of me. The stars that shine, the sunrise at his command. I'm just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonders of his aid. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. I've not always been the best man, or the Lord that I could be. I've stumbled, yes, sometimes I've given in. But the Lord is great in mercy, and the moment I repent, I find he blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that he takes thought of me. The stars that shine, the sunrise at his command. I'm just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonders of his name. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. I've not always been the best man, or the Lord that I could be. I've stumbled, yes, sometimes I've given in. But the Lord is great in mercy, and the moment I repent, I find he blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that he takes thought of me. The stars that shine, the sun rises at his command. I'm just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonders of his hand. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. Do you know how it feels to know something's missing? To hear a small voice that you just keep dismissing? Do you know how it feels to be trouble inside? To think it's just for you on a cross someone died? Do you know how it feels when enough to surrender? Have you since washed away, never to be remembered? then know that the truth tell me. Do you know how it feels? Then how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're alright when you lay your head on your pillow at night? Know that it's real, tell me. Do you know how it feels? Do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and tears started flowing
the moment you felt it? Do you know how it feels
to know you've been changed and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged? Do you know how it feels
wherever you roam, you still get a feeling
you're not at home? Knowing heaven is real, tell me. Do you know how it feels? Then how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one that created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you know your head on your pillow at night? And know that it's real, tell me. You know how it feels. You know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and tears started flowing the moment you felt it. You know how it feels to know you've been changed and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged. You know how it feels wherever you roam, you still got a feeling you're not at home. Knowing heaven is real, tell me. Do you know how it feels? Then how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow at night? And know that it's real, tell me. Do you know how it feels? That's the born again experience. You see that? When you're born again, that's what happens. Your cold heart is melted.
The whole world has been rearranged. That's how it felt like to me.
Yeah.
The whole world was being rearranged.
It's all in here. Somebody created the stars, loves you. Pretty hard to fathom. That's what happens when the Lord gets hold of you. You yield to Him. Then you can fall asleep at night on your pillow and know that He's going to take care of things. I was heavy burdened down, the hand of Satan had me bound. I called on Jesus, He had compassion on me. Then His love came running in, and it took away my sin. I was changed, Satan knew I'd been set free. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on a lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps me singing. It was Jesus who made me this way. And the world can take all the things that I worked for through the years. They can take this old house I'm living in. But there's one thing I know, they'll never take away from me, and that's Jesus who's living within. Cause I've been touched by those things that were hanging from a tree on a lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps me singing. It was Jesus who made me this way. And the world can take all the things that I work for through the years. They can take this old house I'm living in. But the one thing I know, they'll never take away from me, and that's Jesus who's living within. Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging on a tree on a lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps me singing. It was Jesus who made me this way. That's what religion will do to you. They'll take everything you ever worked for. And then they accuse us of having the wrong faith, you know. What, the wrong cloud? Well, the proof is in the pudding. They take everything away from you because you've been touched by those saints. That's not the wrong faith if you've been touched by those saints. And then what they do, that's religion for you. They come and they take everything away from you, try to break you, you know. But they'll don't think they'll never take away. You can take my house, you can take my family, you can take everything. But there's one thing they're after, that's that Jesus living within. That's what they're trying to get you to recant and to compromise on, and that's what they did back in the Dark Ages. If they couldn't get them to recant, they burned them at the stake. That's what they're doing today. If they can't get you to recant, they put you in shunning. That's what the only weapon they have. The Amish, when somebody drives a car or doesn't abide by their tradition, they put them in shunning. Same with the Hutterites. When you challenge them, when you tell them the truth, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You just tell them the truth, they'll just rock the boat a bit, then they slowly start threatening you, mm-hmm. and slowly, they don't like to show the true colors. The devil don't like to be pushed into a corner, mm-hmm. and he don't like to expose himself. So he kind of uses it as a last resort, and then when you don't compromise, you don't give in to his garbage, and you don't allow yourself to be intimidated, and you don't allow yourself to be fear-mongered, mm-hmm. then they come down, and then they throw their true colors and doing exactly what they did, what these thugs did back in the Dark Ages and back in the days of Jesus. Jesus came and told them the truth, and eventually they crucified him. Yeah. That's the same thing today. So the law of the land won't allow them to crucify us, but if they did, we'd be crucified 10 times over.
Uh-huh, that's what he uses. He uses fear-mongering and intimidation and those tactics to behind the scene, you can feel it, so you don't challenge it, that system.
Yeah.
And that's what he uses. But sometimes somebody comes along who's not scared and not fear-mongered and not intimidated, and he really challenges it, that system. And then their true colors really come out of what is really behind that system.
Oh yeah, I've been through their torture chambers, and that at the end of the day, you know, I one day I decided I want to go back and join up with them, and then they decided they'll put me in this Auschwitz rigmarole, and then my mom asked my dad, so what are you going to tell the people? Why are you putting Sam in his Auschwitz thing? Well, he had to come up with some kind of an answer, so he. The only thing he could kind of, well, he had no business challenging us. You know, they're going to put me in this Auschwitz garbage and give me over to Satan simply because I challenged him. That's kind of a cheap shot, eh? And, well, that's just part of that just tells me that system is not of God. And I began to challenge him. And then, like I say, then the only thing they could come up with, well, he had no business challenging us. He, well, you have to challenge and find out the true colors, you know. They're all just corrupt. It's just of the devil. Then we come along, we tell them the truth, and man, they're living, yeah. The devil don't like to be exposed. We're just exposing the devil. We're done. They're just as deceived as anybody, you know. And they'd like to get off that roller coaster themselves if they could, but they're fearmonger, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. See, we got the answer. We've been touched by those hands that were hanging. One day Jesus came by our way, and we just surrendered. And that Soda Mijishamea, that's that religious system out there. They can't handle the truth. Satan hides himself behind religion. Like it's hard to tell people that because Satan has managed to set up a platform, set up a program where like we'd be called white. We're the culprits then, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then they twist the scriptures and they accuse me of leaving my family behind and all that. When they know very well, time and time again, they were there trying to get rid of me. They even called that pizza fair home up to, after that split, told me to get out. Leave them alone. Don't rock the boat. Yeah, we've been through their mill and now we're just exposing them. Exposing the unfruitful Richard Arnold. We're telling people about their real colors. Mm-hmm. What they're about. Years I spend in vanity and pride, caring that my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word that lifts my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the Lord's spur. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. The true salvation plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, and now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly owe him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was grace and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, and now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. liberty at Calvary. There's millions of people walking out there completely unaware that somebody died for us at Calvary. Mm-hmm. That's how I was like that. The thing of it is, in that Hutterite system and these religious system, you think you got a ticket to glory just because mm-hmm. you're part of a religious system. That's how the devil got them deceived. That's the worst thing that could be in, is a religious system. But they're just cults. Satan controls them. Satan found a real good platform ever since Martin Luther was here with the Just to Live by Faith, and he'd been having a heyday throughout the Dark Ages. Now millions of people he got sending them straight to hell, and the people that were serious, they had to go underground. They were burned at the stake and all that. And then when Martin Luther came on the scene to Just to Live by Faith, and got the people out of the Dark Ages, Satan come up with a different plan. He sat back. Well, he's not gonna take that sitting down. Mm-hmm. You and I, we know the devil. We know how he operates. And then he comes up with his Jacob Hooter plan. You know, when you analyze, you gotta sit back and analyze things. You can't think. You can't take things at face value. And when you step back and you realize and you look at it, that's exactly what he did. He just went out there and he came up with a plan, and it's exactly like he did in the Dark Ages. But now he mixes in very pious people, very religious people. Oh, if you want to show true love for your brother, you gotta take care of him. You gotta bring him in under your wing. You gotta have your mind shoved. He manufactures that thing. Yeah. It's all. You gotta look at the fruit of the thing. Mm-hmm. What's the fruit of that Jacob butter? What's the final chapter? Mm-hmm. Dictatorship, first class communism, first class, just like Russia. We see it over and over again. But you gotta keep seeing it over mm-hmm. and over again, because people are brainwashed. They think that other thing is it. They think that Amish thing is it. We're just taking the wraps off. That's all we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're just telling people the way it is, because here in his last, in his closing days of time, God said he's going to even expose the intent and the intent of a person's heart. That's what's happening now. Everything is coming to fruition. Like when you put the crop in the spring, you don't know what's in what you sowed there. You don't know whether it's wheat or barley. But when it goes up and it comes to fruition, then you can really tell. That's a barley field out here. That's a wheat field out here. That's the same thing here. With spiritually speaking, we're at the end, and all these things are coming to fruition. Everything is being exposed, and it's just that simple. Everything has to make common sense. Mm-hmm. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his faithful light of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his faithful lightning off his terrible swift sword. That's what you see around the world. God is losing his judgment. You know, there's wars and rumors of war. That's God's. Losing his lightning, losing his, tripping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. The wrath of God is just, it's on the world, it's on the way, but it hasn't hit its high peak yet. The day of the Lord, that's the judgment day of the Lord. and that's just up the road here. We're living in that season of time. That's why we're telling people the truth, and they don't like the truth, but we're telling it to them anyway. my loving brother, when this world's on fire, nothing on God's bosom to be your pillow. Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Well, continue about yesterday. There's a lot of stuff we kind of just touched on things. But the natural man, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. You and I, we're talking about things of the Spirit. We're talking about things that the natural man cannot perceive, unless he's born again. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not the spirit of the devil. We get the proper faith. For they are foolishness unto him. They know what we. They know what we. The devil knows we're right, eh? And then he tries to intimidate people. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of God, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'll try a different translation here. The unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit. You're an unbeliever, you just lucked out, you know, you're completely foreign to you. You're like to a lot of people, what we're saying is gibberish, you know. He's an unbeliever. That's how you can prove people, if they're an unbeliever, if they're a believer, if they're religious, or if they're Christian. And you just tell them the truth, and that proves that they're unbelievers. They can't accept what we have to say here, because the things we say, they're strictly by the Spirit. The unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit. It's impossible. There's a big wall between it, and the only one that can break that wall down is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to, like you was reading yesterday, tear down that middle wall of partition. And then it's all about Jesus. The unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is understood by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to advise him? But we have the mind of Christ. Der natürliche Mensch vernimmt nichts von Geist Gottes. End of story. Impossible. He's in the outs. He's outside of the camp. Der natürliche Mensch vernimmt nichts von Geist Gottes. Es ist ihm in einer Torheit. When we talk, when we say things, it's a foolish to people. We're the fools then, but that's just the way it is. That's just the way it's set up. As is seen in an Torheit. The Torheit meant they're foolish. Und kann es nicht erkennen. You could talk till you're blue in the face if they have had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They just don't get you. It's just, like I say, it's just gibberish. Denn es muss geistig gerichtet sein. Der Geistliche berichtet alles und wird vernehmen gerichtet. Denn wer hat das Herrensinn erkannt? Oder wer will ihn unterweisen? Wir haben Christi Sinn. Heavenly Father, we just spread your word here, Lord. There's so much in it, Lord. I just pray you'll give us the wisdom and the know-how how to execute this very important thought here, Lord, because without your help, Lord, without you drawing a picture for people, it's just a bunch of gibberish. And we just pray you'll open up the hearts of the people, if they have not been born again, that they would at least seek how they can get in contact with you, Lord. And we've said it over and over many times, Lord. The only crime that they can commit is to reject you when you come knocking, Lord. We just pray you'll help us to draw the picture and to execute this very important scripture here in these closing days of time, because you've given us the understanding of where we are in time. You've done so much for us, Lord. We can just bow before you, Lord, give you thanks for everything. And it wouldn't even touch the service. So we just, as a token of appreciation, Lord, we just say, do with us as you see fit. Use our lips, use our vocal cords, use our finances, use everything that we have, Lord, to bring out this end time message, Lord, to tell the people where we're living in time. Open up their hearts, Lord, because if you don't open up their understanding and their dark, they're just, everything we say is just gibberish, Lord. We just pray you'll draw a picture and allow people to see. Most of all, Lord, pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Kind of want to go through that episode that happened here Tuesday, I guess. Walk through it with a fine-tooth comb. There's so much in there. The fact that God set this whole thing up. When God sets something up, there's a lot more in there that meets the eye, because usually Tuesday we usually go to Winnipeg, and I decided, you know, we're going to go to Winnipeg on Tuesday. So we went in and did our thing, and then you had something you wanted to pick up at Costco. And I decided, you know, I'm not going to go into Costco, because that particular day I was fasting. I was 2 days into my fasting. And the second is about the toughest to fast. And you try to stay away from food. And the Costco in there, they have all these places where you can taste their food, you know, and it's free. And so I just decided I'm not going to go in there, because the temptation, you know, like I say, the second day when you're fasting, it's about the toughest. When you get over the third day, then you're on a roll. But anyway, you went in by yourself, and I stayed out. I said, I'll wait out there. And here, lo and behold, you run to your brother Larry from Skyview. And see, only a God in heaven could set that up. That particular way, that here, within, if you'd have been 10 seconds later there, or 10 seconds sooner, you'd have missed him. You'd just come around the corner, and there he stood, and then I guess you had a 15-minute conversation with him. But it was, and the conversation, he found out a lot of things, how they think, you know, how they navigate this thing. And you, see, the thing of it is, the Lord set it up. So once the Lord takes time out to set this thing up here, you've met your brother, just a miracle, that something that you have to sit back and analyze. Lord, what's the purpose of this? That here you haven't seen it for 10 years or so, and you know the story about the Hutterites. We're kind of putting the outs with them. They don't want us to come to their property, because you wanted to go home and visit your mom when she was sick, and that preacher down there, that terrorist, that's all these preachers are, they're a bunch of terrorists, but they just haven't shown their true colors, just like over in Iran. These leaders, these preachers over in Iran, these Ayman, they're just a bunch of terrorists, and it's the same thing with all these cults. That preacher has to be a terrorist, but he doesn't like to want to show his true colors, and here you ask permission to go home and visit your mom. And that preacher there, if you show up, we'll smash up your car. See? And then they accuse us of never going, then they accuse you of not visiting your mom when she was sick and things like that. See? It's the whole thing is controlled by Satan, trying to intimidate us, trying to make us irrelevant. See? The devil knows that you and I have the truth. And then how he, what he does. He doesn't want people to find out what you and I have, so he makes us the boogeyman, you know. He makes us prepare. We're the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And then they accuse me of, oh, he left his family. When we said it over and over again. They worked overtime to get me out of there. They even had a sergeant in, and they smashed up my car. But see, behind it, you got to see the spirit of Satan trying to hide what you and I have. So what does he do? He knows he knows we have the truth, you know, mm-hmm. and he knows he can't stop us because there's just no way we'll be quiet. So what does he do? He got it in their brain, and he sets it in their mind that we're the bad guys, we're the boogeyman, and they're the good guys, and that's exactly what he does. And your brothers, no exception. You talk with him, and the first one of the—I don't know what all you talked about. You know what you talked about there?
Well, it's hard to for them to perceive the things of the spirit. Like we were saying, like this, it says in Corinthians, the natural man does not perceive the things of God. And it's just how it is. The natural man does not understand how the Spirit of God works. Like when he convicts you, your heart, when he saves you, and these things. Like I told him, like, I saw no future on the Hutterite colony. He said I should go back to the colony. And I said, what would I do in the colony? It is such a dead place. Like I said to him, I had this encounter. I was out walking in the dead cold of winter, and I was so downcast and depressed, and I felt like the system that I was in, that there was no future for me. And as I was walking, there came a man riding up with his van, and he asked me if this is Skyview Colony, and I said it is. And I just wanted to proceed on walking. Like I was so downcast about this system. And then he said, why are you out walking in such a cold weather? Isn't it too cold? And I said, well, if you feel the way I feel, you don't feel the cold. And he said, why don't you come into my van and then we'll talk? And normally I wouldn't have done it. Like I would have thought, why would I do that? But for some reason, I was just led to sit in his van and sit there and talk with the man. And he started presenting to me the gospel, what Jesus did for us, how he came and he delivered us and he redeemed us, and that there is no other mediator between God and man but Jesus Christ. And when you are belong to God, to the Father, then nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hands. And he prayed with me, and you know that? I said to him, and that's where the Lord saved me. He met me out on the road. The man had said that he had gone by earlier, but he missed the road. So he thought, well, on his way back, he's going to make sure he's not going to miss this road. So God set it up. I told him, my brother Larry, that was God setting it up, that as I was walking that precise time, this man would come and we would have a conversation, and he's going to talk to me about Jesus, about the gospel. And that's what happened. And I want to read something here. These things you can't explain these things to people.
Why did he miss the road? Why did he miss the car? The turn, he missed the turn, and then he came back because you weren't out of, mm-hmm. on the road at that time. So he came back, and the Lord, you got to see the Lord in all of that. You got to see the God of heaven, how he set that thing up, that you were right out on that road, and that man was right there, and he stopped and he asked you for information. And it was set up by God. Mm-hmm. When God does something, you got to take it serious. And just the same thing with that meeting you had with at Costco with your brother. Anyway.
When I went out of Costco and I was meditating on those things of what God has done for me, the many blessings that he's blessed me with in understanding of his word and faith in his word and in how he's journeyed me And I thought about my brother Larry. He has never experienced that, you know. And that song came to me. It's called I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace. So anyway, that song came to me. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he had made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves, convicting men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. And that song came to me. I know not why God decided one day that he's gonna come by my way, but I know I wanted something. I needed something. I needed a savior. I needed help. Because I was in a state of there was no future, no life, no hope. And there he came, Jesus came by my way, and he opened up his word to me, and I know not why he did that for me and not to my brother Larry. And I cannot explain it, what Jesus did for me, and try to explain it naturally to somebody that's in the natural, you know, because these things are spiritually discerned, and you can't really help people understand. Just like Abraham, you know, he was called out from his kinfolk, from his the people that he know. He was called out to go to the land that God will show him, and he journeyed out by faith. And that's our journey. God spoke to us, and we journeyed out by faith. And in the process, we had to forsake it all. We had to forsake wife, father, mother, brother, sister, children, whatever it is, just to be faithful to that voice that we heard, and to be led and guided by his Spirit. And that's how it worked in our life. Like I even reminded him, like we were sitting out at the fire there in the summertime. We usually had a bonfire, and me and him were just out sitting out by ourselves. Everybody had gone in for some reason, and he asked me a sincere question, and he said, what are you going to do with your life, Lorraine? Are you going to get married? What are you going to do? And I said, there's so little control you actually have of your life. And I realized that for some reason. I said, you know what? I'm going to see what Jesus has for me. And I said to him, to my brother, on Tuesday, and that's what I've been doing. I've been following Jesus. But you know, you try to explain it to them, but you don't know how much they can perceive, because see, when you're in that system of religion and you've never been touched by those hands that were hanging, then you can't describe what really drives you. What really motivates you is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and what he has for your life. And that's first and foremost what you want to do. Because if you don't, you're disobedient. And then you try to explain these things, but it's a little difficult.
Yeah, and then they accuse you of not caring. Well, we've been over it again and again. The only way you can really show genuine, true love for your next of kin is do exactly what it says over in Hosea. God, Because you reject the knowledge. You rejected the message for your day. And that's what you and I did. We found a message for our day. And the only thing that you can do for your family, whether you, for your children and your immediate family, the only thing that you can do for your brother Larry is to continue on in the truth for the day and hour you're living in. Because Hosea backs it up because you rejected the truth for your day. We've been trying to say the same thing over and over again. It's how you perceive the word of God, how you accept the message for your day. And the only thing that you can do to show love for your brother and for your family and for your sibling is to continue on this journey that you and I are on, and believing the message for your day as it was back in the days of Hosea. You can read it, because you have rejected the truth for your day. God said he will reject you, that you will be no more priest before me, and he will forget your children. And in fact, he will forget your siblings. He will forget your whole family, like they don't even exist. He won't even remember. When calamity hits him, he'll just pass them by. Calamity will just take him out to hell and that. But see, as long as you're connected, as long as you're continuing on and the truth for your day, then you have the guarantee that God will look after your brother Larry. Just that simple. How he does it, I don't know, but that is scriptural. That's the Bible. Now, Brother Branham said, the first Bible was written in the universe, in the equinox, and up in heaven, up in the sky, the stars and the moon and the sun. All that, you look up there at the sun, and you can see the sun is out there, and the sun controls the planets. Everything that's in our galaxy is all controlled by the sun. And the same thing, every family had a sun, S-U-N. And in that family structure, there is a person that if he continues on with the Lord, then God will look after your sibling, after your children, after your family. You and I, we have only one job to do, and that's to continue on with the truth that's been given us and the church age of Laodicea. That's the only way that God will be moved. And almost like a contract, he will look after your siblings. He will look after your brother Larry, whether he understands it or not, or even your sister, whether they understand it or not. It doesn't matter. As long as you and I continue on in the things that the Lord has showed us to do. Mm-hmm. Because you're that son for that family. Every family has one. And I've witnessed to a lot of people. I know when I go talk to that that John here at Summerfell. You know, they're my second cousins, and I'm very concerned about them, and I analyzed everything. But from time to time, unbeknown to me, I would run into that John. It used to be boss here somewhere. He's dead now. And every chance I got, I tried to tell him about the Lord, about heavenly things, because I could recognize he was that son. S-U-N, for that family over in Summerfell. And anything that I would do to his brothers or his siblings, it would fall on the wayside, because he's the one that controls his brothers and his sisters. He's the one that God was moving on to surrender his life to him, and then he'll take him to places that he's never been before. But you see, he was stuck in that financial thing and that other right thing and that religious thing that he couldn't weave himself out of it. And that's why his brother, that Mike, that's why he was so stubborn. That's why when I told him about things, I couldn't even get my foot in the door. But see, because God has designed that has to come through that John. I know, I run into him at the bank. I run into him time and time and time again, trying to direct him to let him go of that material thing. And he never could. And then he happened had a stroke and died, and then his brother had a stroke and died, and then that whole family is lost simply because he refused to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing with that Denny over here in Bloomfield. He's like a S-U-N for his family, and I've been trying to talk to them, his siblings, and to his and time and time again, but it's often it hit them. You hit the brick wall because it's not my job. My job is to talk to that Danny guy and try to convince him that it's his job to stand for truth. And he knows, and deep in his heart, he knows that I'm right. But he'll work 24/7 to try to prove me wrong. He's doing the opposite of what he should. And then here his older brother, he up and died, and all because he didn't do his part on his brother. I know what I'm talking about, because I know how God sets it up. If God wouldn't set it up, there'd be hardly anybody going to heaven. But God set it up. He knows they don't have the capacity to do anything. That is why he's using you to walk in truth, so that God can at least remember your siblings. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the bottom line. And the only way you can care for them is to continue on in the truth that God has given us. I've said it time and time again. I've seen it over and over again. I've seen it with my, I tried to witness to my father-in-law, not to my brother-in-law, to my sister-in-law. And I tried bend over backwards, and I was so frustrated. I said, Lord, why don't they understand what I'm trying to tell them? And the Lord just told me, because the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked that shall understand. And over, I tried to explain to them how this thing works. And the more I tried, the more I hit the brick wall. And then here, some time back, I had we know all things. The Bible says the Spirit of God, he teaches us all things. Eyes has not seen, ears have not heard, what God has prepared for them that love him. But to us, to you and I, he has revealed these things by his Spirit, that we know all things. He can take us back to the prehistoric hour in just a split second, just as we're sitting here, and he can show us things that happened way eons, way past. Yes, the Spirit of God can do that. By his Spirit, we know all things. That's what the Bible says. We know all things because he's set it up that way. Then here I saw my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, they up and died about 10, 15, 20 years ago. And they have just mind my own business. I saw the Lord can take you down into hell. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to hell. He can just show you a picture what's going on down there. And here I saw my father-in-law and my brother-in-law. Like they were doing exactly what they were doing here. When they came to crooked stuff, they would support each other. My father-in-law, he was dead. A preacher over in Spring Hill, and my brother-in-law, when he did something, when he would smuggle things, it's okay if you smuggle for the colonies. Anyway, what I'm trying to say, they would support one another. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw when I saw them down in hell. They were just walking, they were just supporting each other, no matter what. Where my father-in-law went, my brother-in-law went right behind him, you know. Just like they did here. When it came to garbage, when it came to doing things, they were supporting each other, just that simple. And then I saw my sister-in-law, that Judy, just over and over. Dad, why did you bring me to this place? Why did you bring me to this place? Why did you bring me to this place? Over and over and over. Because simply because he could have done otherwise. He could have listened to what I had to tell him. He could have listened about Christianity, and then she wouldn't have had to be lamenting. Why did you bring me to this place? Why did you bring me to this place? And see, that's the truth of the matter. I'm telling people the truth. And then they accuse us of having a wrong faith, you know. Mm-hmm. Then you ask your brother, why didn't his wife go with him? Why would she not go with him? Then your brother said to you, well, she was afraid he's got a wrong cloud, a wrong faith, and that's why she didn't go with him. See what they mm-hmm. She's in a good place. She's not down there with her sister screaming, Dad, why did you bring it? She's in a good place because I stood up to the podium. Because I stood for what's right, whether mm-hmm. believe it or not, that's exactly what happened. Because of me standing for truth, that's why this happened. That's why She said, my wife's in a good place. She's out of their clutches and out of their, they tried to use her to break me, but I didn't break. And I just kept continuing on in this truth. They wanted me to compromise, go back to the compound. She worked right to the very last minute to try to get me to go back to the compound, because that's what she's designed to do. That's what the Lord was using her for, to test her. And they used her. They thought they got her on their side, but at the end of the day, God got took her out of their clutches, and she's in a good place, simply because you and I were standing for the truth of the day and hour that we're living in. And if you care about your children, you'll do the same thing. You're going to stand for the truth that's been established, that's been given to the church age of Laodicea. The ministry of William Branham and Brother Jackson, really, it's the ministry of that angel. This is going to be eternal life, that they believe of them whom I will send. And you and I, we believe that God sent that angel to the church age of Laodicea. This is the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. The mystery of God should be fixed. All that Brother Brendan was and Brother Jack, they were the vocal cords of that angel. And they brought us a tremendous revelation. And they set the stage for the church in the Laodicea. That's that Isaiah, and that's that wealth that God, Jesus, back in the book early, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. We got that, and we saw that, and we blended in, and we did everything that we possibly could to do to stand right with the Lord. We accepted exactly what Hosea said back in his day. If because you rejected it, I'm going to reject you, and you got to take the flip side, because you and I have accepted what has the message for our day, and now we got the guarantee that God will remember your brother Larry or your siblings. Mm-hmm. That's all we're trying to say here today. You do your part, God will do his part. But if you don't do your part, God is his answer. He's not obligated to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I say, there's a family, there's S-U-N, and every family structure. That's why the Lord is working overtime to try to get the attention of a certain individual. That's why you're singing, reading that song here. That's why the Lord saw something in you. You're that S-U-N for your family. If you were to reject them, you could have told the Lord to go fly kite like millions do. And then your whole family would have no foot to stand on. But you yielded to the Lord, and the Lord brought you to the truth for your day. Just that simple. There's no other way
right.
to put it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we just want to help people to understand, Lord, how what you've done, and you've called us out, Lord, of the system of religion, Lord, and to the message for our day and hour, Lord, and we care about people, and the reason people don't understand that we do care about them, but we tell them the truth, and many times we fight this fight, Lord, is because we really care about these people, and we love them, Lord, with all our hearts, Lord. We want for them to have an expected end. We don't want them to meet judgment. So that's why we do what we're doing and telling people the truth, Lord. What all this is all about, what this deception of religion does to people. It deceives them. It blinds them, Lord. It makes them feel like they are they have salvation and they're going to go to heaven just because they live in those systems of religion. But that's not how it works. It's all about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us at Calvary, and to believe the message for our day and hour, Lord. So we just want to help people to understand that. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.